Hey, this is Jessica Chastain, and you're listening to episode 101 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything with your host, Melanie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 101. Like, what? 101 episodes? I've done this 101 times? That is crazy. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's, because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next. And I'm very excited about this week's guest, Tom Bergeron. You guys keep asking me when he's going to be back. He is back. I was going to hold back this episode, but I have ultimately decided not to do that because you guys have asked about Tom so frequently. So he's back. I thought Tom mentions in our chat, it's important to remember that these are just chats, not really formal interviews, because Tom and I have done this now three times. He is the only guest to appear three times. Brad Dourif appeared on three episodes, but that was all recorded at one time. These are three separate episodes, separate recordings, I should say. That being said, good news, bad news. The interview went off without a hitch, but my microphone sounds like I'm talking into a tin can, and I don't know why, because I replaced it. Ugh, I'm so disappointed. But it sounds terrible, and I'm not happy about it. That being said, at least you can get a good, you can really hear Tom well, so that's good. But I sound a little bit weird, which I'm not happy about, but it kind of is what it is. And I've come to the conclusion that whenever Tom and I record, and he'll be back eventually, whenever Tom and I record, something always goes wrong. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But it is what it is. There is nothing I can do about it. So, all that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode of me sounding like I'm talking into a tin can or like I'm talking into the computer or something, and very clear audio from Tom. Enjoy the episode. It's a fun one. I'm not happy about the sound. I am such an OCD person who wants everything to be perfect. And when it's not, I get really angry. And whenever I record with Tom, I try so hard to make it perfect, and this kind of crap happens. Hopefully next time it won't. Shit happens. That's life. So, as my dearly departed friend Cory Monteith once said on an episode of Glee, the show must go all over the place or something. Without further ado, I bring you Tom Bergeron.
Recording in progress. Get nervous, yeah. Tom.
Do you still get nervous?
No, not really. No.
Welcome back. I missed you.
This is, what's that old saying? The third time's the charm, right? So we'll see. This is number three.
I know. We're going to win this one. We're not like the Chiefs.
When was the first one, Mel? How long ago was it?
2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was a strike and all that stuff. So I didn't feel comfortable doing podcasts while my peers can't work and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't do it. Couldn't.
Oh, makes sense.
I have too much respect for this business to like do anything to, I don't know. I'm just very strange. But we've come full circle, because the first time you were here, I'm sure you remember that I was like madly in love with Ben Affleck. And then you came back and I shifted to someone else, which was Andrew
Tom Brady.
Well, I love Tom Brady all the time, but it was Andrew Garfield. And then now I'm back on the bench ring.
Okay. He's single again, right?
Correct.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there's an opening for you.
Ben had a film that came here to the film festival. And I knew he wasn't going to come. But Jennifer Lopez was in it and Matt Damon was there. So I'm like, I'm going to go. It'll be fun. My friends were here from Europe and Brazil. And Matt Damon comes up to me and I give him a picture to sign. And it's a picture of himself dressed as Tom Brady. And he's like, what are you gonna do with it? And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna put it with the real one. And he's like, what? We're real one. And I'm like, I have Tom Brady's autograph. And he's like, excuse me. And I'm like, could you get Ben my phone number? And he's like, do you really want to deal with that? And I laughed, like he was so nice.
Yeah.
He didn't give him my number. I don't know why.
Well, he's probably just protecting you from tabloid disaster.
Yeah, but that might be a good thing. It might like send my career into overdrive.
That's true.
So, how have you been?
Okay.
Doing okay? I know
Yeah.
you had a pretty badass Super Bowl party that I'm jealous of.
Oh, over at yeah. Well, it wasn't really my party. It was Shatner's, but got to hang out with, of course, always love hanging out with Bill, and then surprised when Nicolas Cage sat down to my right. So it was a treat to chat with him as well.
Is that your first time meeting him?
Pardon?
Is that your first time meeting
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage?
yeah.
Because I saw the picture and it was like, oh, I think he's having a fanboy moment.
Who, Nick?
No, you.
Oh, I think Nick was having a fanboy
Everyone
moment.
is a little bit, you know, this is something that I've learned about you. I've met a lot of people. Sometimes I'll name drop you. And I did that in front of John O'Hurley because I know that, you know, he was on Dancing with the Stars. And
Right.
he spent maybe 10 minutes talking to me about how amazing you are. And I was like, you don't
Oh,
have to tell me. I know.
that's sweet. Yeah,
Yeah.
John was, of course, that was the first season back in 2005, right? 2005. Yeah, 20 years ago.
That's
Holy
insane.
mackerel. I know. Yeah.
But you have honestly barely aged. And a lot of
Just my
people were
hair. The hair has
asking.
aged. It's gotten lighter, but it's still there. So
A
that's
lot
good.
of people wanted to know, how do you keep in shape? Which I already know because you've told me before, but since they want to know, how do you keep in such good shape?
Well, I'm a bit of a gym rat, so I train about 4 days a week. I've become a Peloton addict.
Oh.
Something that years ago Erin Andrews had been telling me, 'cause she's been pedaling for years, and she, oh, you should get a Peloton. And it took me a while to finally, okay, 'cause I'm not into running as much anymore. It's just, it's boring to me, but so I got a Peloton and I'm kind of hooked. So I train 4 days a week on the Peloton, about 4 or 5 days a week, anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes per session, and meditate. I've been a TM meditator since before you were born.
Are you still doing yoga?
Well, the yoga thing, there's actually been more yoga related things said about me than I actually do. I mean, I stretch and all that, but I'm not a big, my niece has a yoga studio in my hometown. So she holds the yoga flag for the family, but I do it occasionally, but it's not up there in my top five.
But you're still hiking because I see you
Oh
hiking.
yeah. Love that. Especially when I'm out here in California.
Yeah, because they have such like beautiful views and like I've only ever hiked Runyon Canyon, so it's not that
Yeah.
impressive.
Yeah, that's sort of the cliche hike out here.
Was like the first time I was there, and my friends were
Right,
like, "We have
right.
to go," and I
Yeah.
was like, "Okay." Speaking of California, since you're I know you've been doing fundraising, you know, to help the PTF and the whatnot. You're always helping them, and they've been helping with the fires. And I'm not there, so I don't know. How is it out there? Like, are people's spirits good or?
Well, I think there's still a lot of PTSD out here from that. Large sections of the Pacific Coast Highway are still closed. I can go down some of the canyon roads from where I am, but I can't ride on the Pacific Coast Highway from about the, I'd say, a portion of Malibu to the 10, which you can get out your maps, folks, and follow along. But from the Malibu Pier, pretty much to the 10, which is around Santa Monica, that still is all closed. Nor can you go down to Panga Canyon all the way to the Pacific Coast Highway. So not only the devastating fires, but then we had some torrential rain, which caused mudslides. And, it's California is a lovely place to be, but Mother Nature can get pissy.
Yeah. I actually, the doctor ended up giving me anxiety medication because I was so affected by it. Because I used to work for Tommy Chong and he lives in Palisades. And I was just like, he's an older man and I filmed in his house. Like, and so I was affected because I love California. That's like my end game where I'm going to end up. And I'm watching it burn, and it was really hard for me, and I don't even live there, so I can just imagine.
And I was back east watching a coverage of KTLA's coverage, and we have cameras in the house out here. So, and we were in an evacuation warning zone. We weren't in the mandatory evacuation zone, those who live in this neighborhood. But it got close. And, when you have 100-mile-an-hour winds, embers can move quite a distance and quite quickly. So it was a Herculean task to fight the fires that were devastating large areas of Palisades and Altadena, and really looked like a war zone, some of those aerial shots.
Yeah, I know it got close to Santa Monica because my mentor, she lives there and she's like my friend and she's an older lady. And I was texting her like crazy and she wasn't responding. And I was like, oh no, something very bad has happened. And then she texted me and she's like, I'm getting this information at the same time you are because I'm in New Zealand filming. And I
Oh
was like,
yeah.
thankful that she's, safe and her house ended up being safe as well. But it's especially when you're far away, like I am. Like I was every day, or every other day, I would get on the podcast and start sharing where you can get free stuff, where you can give stuff. I was donating. I had friends in New York coordinating like donations. And the one thing I will say is the fires are terrible, but I think we saw like the very best of the like human spirit because of it, which is the only real silver lining.
A lot of times adversity brings out the best and the worst in human nature. So, yeah, you got to take the bitter with the sweet,
Yeah, well, you would know you're turning 29 in a
guess.
couple weeks, and that's an awful lot of
Seriously, that's one of the reasons I keep working out so much. I know gravity wins in the end, but I'll put up a fight.
I think you look like significantly younger than you are.
Thank you. Thank you. You wonder why I keep doing your podcast, right? It's just for the ego strokes.
It's not just me though. Even my mom, she's always like, "He looks like the Fonz," but I'm like, "That's Henry Winkler." She's like, "I know, but they look, except
That's funny.
you're taller than him." Because
Just a bit, just a bit.
I remember last time you had actually were telling me, and it didn't get in the podcast, but you had told me that Henry, when he auditioned for Happy Days, that he like initially didn't think he would get it because he was so short and not like
And
the
he,
type.
right, he, as he would say, he's compared to the hulking Italians who were waiting to audition. He's, about 5'7" Jewish guy, and so he didn't think he had a shot. But what he did have that maybe a lot of them didn't have was a lot of talent. So that and he did apparently in the audition, he, if I recall correctly, he did the thing that ended up being in the open of Happy Days. The instruction for the audition was to go to the mirror and comb your hair. And Henry went to the mirror, took the comb out, and went, "Hey," that he
Yeah.
was perfect. And apparently he was the only one that did that. And that to them, I think Gary Marshall and the people who were hoping to cast the perfect Fonz, that gesture said, "Okay, he knows who this character is."
And even despite being the show is so old, like it's an old show, but it's like stood the test of time, I think, because they had such a great cast. I recently met Ron Howard, who is now like he's a director. But everybody else was like calling him his name from the show. And I'm like, this is very rude. Like, we're not going to do this.
He wasn't getting called Opie anymore, huh?
So they were calling him that. And I'm like,
Opie and Richie.
don't do that. I don't think it's nice, like, to call people by their characters. I don't know. I think that's
You know,
strange.
it's good to have a career where people remember your characters, so there's that.
True. But then you have somebody who's a very good friend of yours, which is Dick Van Dyke, and he's played so many characters. I couldn't honestly name any of them, but I know all of his like work, and I know obviously we know him. He's a national treasure.
Right, yeah.
Have you hung out with him lately?
Not at the last time I saw Dick and his wife was at the dedication of or the renaming actually of the theater at Malibu High School for the Dick and Arlene theater or and so I saw him there, and those blue eyes are as sparkling blue as they've always been. He just
Oh, my mom saw him and she was like, I hope I don't live that old, but if I do, I hope I can look that old.
Well, if you're going to be living to 99, do it the way Dick Van Dyke. And again, as I posted recently on my Instagram page, it was a side by side of me hiking and the book cover of Dick's book, Keep Moving. And he knows what he's talking about.
You think that staying fit and keeping active is like the trick to staying young as we age?
Well, I think, look, there's a genetic component to it.
Cool.
And you cannot really fight that, but you can certainly improve your odds as you age. And again, I'll be 70 in May. That's my Dick Van Dyke old man voice. I love working out. It's something that I don't regard as torture, even though I'll occasionally tell my trainers I think they're torturing me, but I enjoy it, and I enjoy feeling active and at the right, weight and all of that. So yeah, but I think it helps, obviously. You can enhance your chances by just doing some basic stuff. Watch what you eat, don't smoke, don't drink to excess. All the common sense stuff.
I started working out because I gained weight during the pandemic. I think everybody did. And then I lost 30 pounds in like two pant sizes. And it feels nice, but my face is still round. I hate it. But people are like, you're gonna like that when you're old. And then I look at pictures of my grandpa and he was skinny and he had the same face. So I'm like, thank you so much. Like, thank you for that. I got all the negative traits, but I was watching a Netflix
No one's
series.
ever happy. No one is ever completely happy with how
With the
they,
way they look.
how they look or feel. But you're playing percentages. You're looking great from my perspective, so
Oh, thank you.
you're welcome.
I wanted to get a facelift, and my mom was like,
Oh,
for
good
what?
God, Mel. Wait, you gotta wait till it drops first.
See, the thing is for me is, and this business is like brutal. I'm scared that they're going to be like, no, you're expired. But I'm not yet, I don't think.
Well, let me tell you, theoretically, people out here should have access to the best in the business, right? In terms of face work and all that. And it's the rare person that you see who's had work done, who it doesn't scream, hey, look, I had work done. I mean, it's so obvious that it's almost worth not doing, I would think,
So you're very into like natural. Well, I guess you're right because if you look at Robert De Niro, I just watched his Netflix series Zero Day, where he's 82 years old and he's as active as anyone I know, and I think he still looks like Robert De Niro. But then you look at Al Pacino, and I don't. If I didn't know, I wouldn't immediately recognize Al.
Well, yeah, but I don't, again, Al Pacino looks like he's just enjoying life and not
Oh, for
necessarily
sure.
working out that much.
No, but he hasn't hidden the fact that he's done stuff to his face, and it changed the way he looks. It's a little
Like
different.
Harrison Ford is aging gracefully. He's not
True.
He's just he's playing a cranky old guy on. Have you seen Shrinking? He's wonderful in that.
No, should
Oh,
I
it's really
care
good.
to?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I think it's his first comedy, and it's more More than just a comedy. It's by the same people who did, or some of the same people who did Ted Lasso. So it really is able to walk that fine line between comedy, drama, pathos, and it's really quite good.
I love that when a show is not like one specific thing and then you can just like dive into it. Like, I had a whole argument with someone because they were trying to tell me that wrestling is cinema. And I was like, it cannot be. Like, even the best TV shows cannot be cinema. You got to stop this. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's like the fifth of that. I'm more of a movie person. Like, I really loved Wicked. I've seen it probably 100 times now. Did you see it?
No.
No. Are you going to?
Probably not. I've seen the stage show,
Okay.
and I feel like I've been there, done that. And apparently, isn't this movie only part one?
Yeah, just
So it's
part
like it's
one.
3 hours and it's only part one. What is this, the prequels to Star Wars?
Oh, you seem like my mom. We went to see it and I was crying, and my mom's like, I don't know why you're crying. Like, she did not understand the movie. And in some ways, I can sort of, you've seen the stage play, so you know what it's about. I sort of understand where she's coming from because, like, if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, which my mom unfortunately has seen probably a million times because I watched it so much as a kid. And then this movie kind of creates a whole narrative for the Wicked Witch where she doesn't die when Dorothy throws the water on her, which doesn't make any sense. It goes back to the original book.
Well, yeah, it's always good to have water retardant witch outfit on if you're prone to melting.
Well, so what are you working on? I know you and Bill produced together, so I'm
No,
curious.
n Bill and I aren't doing it. We had a film project with a company called Village Roadshow, which I think has gone belly up. It's certainly
Yeah.
What they
It happened.
what's the old saying out here? Shit happens. I'm on the verge of signing a deal for just a one-off show that I think will be pretty entertaining and funny. And I really can't say more about that, but we just wrapped the basic negotiations the other day, actually.
That's amazing because I'd love to see you back on television.
If it's the I'm not interested in doing a regular show again. I've
Right.
done that to death. But the idea is, I told my agent, I said, look, if something pops up that's sort of out of left field, kind of fun, doesn't require a lot of time, then you can tell me about it. And she did bring something to me that I think is going to be a hoot. So keep
Did
your
you
eye
ever do
out this summer.
something? Oh, this summer. That's really soon. What network? Can you tell me that?
That's all you're going to get.
Oh, geez, you're no fun. Would you ever do something like Masked Singer again?
No.
No, you didn't enjoy it?
I was so glad to be voted off after three songs. I did it. Now that's, I think that was what their season, third season, I think.
Season,
And
yeah.
at the time, the showrunner was one of my former showrunners on Footwork with the Famous, and so that's the reason I did it, because she asked me, and they had like one slot open, and I was between seasons at that point, and it was fun, it was interesting, but it's so weird to be inside a taco costume and try to sing and try to have any attempt at peripheral vision. And I had thought that, I've got a big tomato head on, so obviously I'll be able to pre-record the vocals. And she said, oh, no, you have to sing live. I went, oh, great. So that was challenging. But I was happy after three. I was, as I said, when I took the head off and I was unmasked, I said, this is the hardest I've worked in years. And it was true.
No one guessed you. That's the weird part. Like, I didn't recognize your voice either because I didn't know you could sing. And it was actually good. Like, it was I thought it was good. But by the clues, even I couldn't have figured it out, and no one guessed you. And then when you got unmasked, it was actually one of the most shocking unmasking for me.
Yeah,
When Veil did it, I knew.
Jenny McCarthy disappeared behind the desk because, you know, she had known me for years. She actually wrote a blurb for the book I wrote years ago. And I think the only one I didn't know was Ken, of the four judges. Robin had been on result shows that we did years ago, and Nicole actually had won a season of
Yeah.
the dancing show. So yeah. A buddy of mine who is a radio host in New Hampshire, apparently the moment I started singing, he knew it was me
I
right
think
out of the
if
gate.
somebody really knows your voice,
Yeah.
but it didn't, it really didn't, like, if I played it now, it still doesn't sound like you. It sounds like somebody who, like, maybe has done Broadway or something. Like, and I'm genuinely
Well,
curious.
I can sing within a certain range, and happily I kept that range for those three songs. But yeah, and I did some musical theater in the past and such, but yeah. But again, the thing that I thought was both worth boasting about and I was embarrassed about was that I lasted longer than Dionne Warwick. So,
Longer
yeah.
than Bill too. He lasted longer than Bill did too, I think.
He did a later season. He hated it. He
I know
absolutely,
he did
he
last
said it was
long.
his, yeah, I think, you know, you don't realize how claustrophobic it is. I mean, it's a quirky, fun show, and God knows it's gone on longer than I thought it would, but as is true of many shows. But it's really tough to be in that outfit and to be, you know, and what was interesting for me, it was shot on the same sound stage as the dance show.
Oh,
So a
really?
lot of the crew was the same that I had known for years, and I wasn't able to interact with any of them because when I wasn't in the taco outfit, I had a hoodie on and a reflective visor and gloves and the shirt said, "Don't talk to me." And
Yeah.
yeah. So it was interesting to be amidst a lot of people that I had worked with for years, but not able to interact with them at all.
I think it would be so interesting if somebody from the dancing show who is a dancer went on it as a singer. And I already know who I would want it to be because I think Mark Ballas is amazing at everything. I think he would be so fun, and I don't think anybody would guess it. Even
Yeah,
though he's
we saw Mark when he was on Broadway doing
Boogie Boots.
what's the Frankie Valli
Oh,
I forget.
in the Four Seasons.
Yeah,
Jersey
but
Boys.
what's the name of the show? I'm blanking
Jersey
on the
Boys.
name. Huh? Oh,
Jersey
Jersey Boys. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Boys.
It was funny because after I saw Mark do a great job, I was at a Starbucks here near where I live, and Frankie Valli walked in. And I said, "Hey, you know, we had seen each other before." I said, "Oh, I just was in New York, and I saw my buddy Mark Ballas play you." And I think Frankie, I got the impression Frankie wished he could be the one playing him on every stage, at every time, because he just kind of it wasn't like, "Oh, really? How was he?" It was like, "Oh, okay." All right.
That's awful. Do you still keep in touch with any of the dancers? I know Cheryl.
Okay, I'm having dinner with Cheryl tonight, as a matter of fact.
I knew Cheryl because Cheryl's like your adopted daughter.
That's
I
right. We
love
refer to each other. She's my dance daughter, and she calls me her dance dad. Because
her. I
when
love
she
her.
started back in season two of that show, back in February of 2006, you know, she was really a kid. She was in her, what, early 20s? And she had to endure just that kind of, well, all of them did, really, because at that point, the show was like 20, 30 million people watching every week. And the kids, as I thought of them, had all of this attention, you know, the TMZ cameras and body weight issues for the women that would be blown out of proportion. So it was tough and good and bad at the same time, really. But yeah, Cheryl was certainly one that I connected with pretty quickly, and we definitely have that surrogate dad-daughter relationship.
She's very talented, and she's very like, I've listened to Cheryl's podcast, and Cheryl, like, she doesn't hold back, and she's so honest. And I admire people like that. I was gonna say, I remember one episode that you did on her show where you guys were talking about her wedding, and you had told Cheryl that you knew that this marriage was not going to last.
I wasn't certain, but I certainly
You had a
doubted
feeling.
that
So I was just gonna say, when when Ben Affleck finally decides that he wants to marry somebody who's young enough to be his daughter, if you will you come to my wedding, and if you think this is a bad idea, will you just stand up and say, I object?
Well, I can object right now and just save us all the trouble and time.
So then if I marry Andrew, will you come and object, or are you not coming to the
No,
wedding,
I
or what?
won't. I'll wish you well. I'll send a gift.
No,
I'll
I
send
want
the
you to come.
I'll send a
I'm
gift
excited
card to
to
what? Like a Target gift card or something like that.
go. So I can go to Target in the kids section and buy all the wicked Barbie dolls because,
There you
I'm an
go.
adult
There you
and
go.
I already bought them all. My mom thinks this is nuts, and like, you have a daughter. Would you think it was nuts
I
if she
have
was
two,
like,
actually. I have
oh,
two.
that's right. And you have the dog, the
My
granddaughter.
granddaughter, yeah, my here. I got to show you. I'm going to take it off the microphone here. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, for Christmas, knowing how pathetically in love with my granddaughter I am, got me a little magnet
Oh, mom.
her face. That great?
You, yeah,
Yeah,
I love that.
yeah,
What does it do? You stick it on your phone,
yeah.
and you just take it everywhere. So this is like your real. Oh my God, I love that. See, you're such a like cool person, but like just a genuinely loving person, and I feel like you radiate that. And that's why whenever I say, who do you guys want on the podcast, I always get people being like, can you bring Tom back? And it's
Oh,
because
that's sweet. Thank
they
you.
love you. I'm sure you know that. People must stop you and tell you that
That they love me.
admire you.
They're people are friendly and nice, and it I always think of that as sort of the gravy, if you will, of a long career in the business, where people feel, in the case of particularly of the video show, less the dancing one, but the video show, so many people of your age into the 30s and such say, oh, I grew up watching you, and that's cool. That's really fun.
I mean, I was subject to watching you on Hollywood Squares as like a
Oh
kid,
yeah,
as a
sure.
little
Yeah.
kid, because
Yeah.
my grandma had a crush on you.
She has impeccable taste.
She did have good taste. She had a crush on you. She had a crush on Dean Martin. She definitely had
Yeah.
her types. My mom said
Yeah.
that everybody in the house had a crush on Arthur Fonzarelli.
There you go.
I don't know. I have, because of that, because I grew up around so many older people, all the people that I have crushes on are old. Like Ben.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know that that's normal. Somebody was like, do you have
Well,
daddy issues?
let's now you don't have to divulge your age, but tell me what constitutes old from your perspective.
See, I don't see people as being old, but for somebody else, like my dad is about to be 61. So he's only 8 years younger than older than Ben. So it's old for me. Like I could be Ben's dad. That's what I mean by old.
Right.
But for me, things that are older to me, I don't know, I just hold them in such high regard, and they have so much more value to me because they're, I don't know how to say it, but like they don't make them like that anymore. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, right.
people are not raised the way that, I mean, Ben has his issues, but older men, like somebody like a Robert De Niro, I think he's so classy and so, but he still maintains this like boyishness, if that makes any sense.
Sure,
Like,
sure.
I'm at the film festival. All my friends are like, oh, I want to get Adam Driver. And I'm like, oh my God, Francis Ford Coppola is right there. And I asked him to come on my podcast and he said he would. So I don't know if he's actually going to do it, but if
Oh,
he
that'd
does,
be
then
great. That'd be great.
because, I'm a big Marlon Brando aficionado, and he directed Brando, so that would be Really cool. His latest movie was something. Have you seen it?
No, that was a passion project of his. It didn't appeal to me at all. I mean, it just I saw the trailer and okay. But to the age thing, I'm reminded of a quote from the late Gene Hackman, actually. Years ago, he said, "I feel 18 years old, and I look in the mirror and I see my grandfather." And it just really spoke to the fact that so much of age is a state of mind. I mean, there's the sort of the chronological reality of it, but so much of how you then embrace or try to fight it is based on what's going on between your ears. So yeah.
I don't know. Like my grandpa was old, but I don't think he knew that because he would be running around with me and we would be having fun. And he would like, even my grandma would say to my mom, like, I think he's reverting back to his childhood. But really, I think it felt, this is a person who grew up in the Depression or whatever and went to war and all this stuff. So maybe this is the only opportunity that he's had to be a child because when
It's a
he had his own
good
kids,
perspective.
He had to go to work and whatever. So that's kind of how I see it. And for me, everybody who's people who are older than me have so much respect for. Like, I know you, I'm pretty sure you told me that when they did, like, they honored John Goodman and Billy Crystal for Monsters, Inc. at Disney. I think that you were involved with that, right?
Yeah, I was hosting the D23 that year.
So Pete Docter was at the film festival. And no one knows or really cares who Pete Docter is. So, but I do. And I just wanted to thank him for the childhood, the films that he gave me, growing up. And he was standing outside the building and he was basically meeting and greeting people. And he was super nice. I don't know if you've met him. Super nice guy. And he was signing for people, and I don't really care much for autographs. And this guy tried to give him a second picture and he got upset and he was like, no, thank you. Like, I just signed for you. And then he was like, but it's for my girlfriend. And he's like, but I said no. And then he tried again. And then I'm like, I'm going to leave him alone just because I want to be respectful. And my crazy friend, Eldon, who's also an actor, decides that the best idea is to push me so that I'm right in front of him. And I'm like, hi, Pete. And then I was like, can I just talk to you? And he was almost shocked that I didn't want a picture, I didn't want anything. And I was just like, I want to thank you for, and I started telling him about the Monsters, Inc. And he's like, oh, I'm so happy that my movie brought you so much joy because I was telling him, reminds me of my grandpa. And then I'm like, and he's dead. And then his whole face drops and he just hugged me. And then he goes, this is like one of my movies. We just went from everything is good to everything's bad real quick. And I'm like, but these are cartoons that are like based on real life and a way to, I think sort of introduce kids to like, the idea of loss and pain, which I think is beautiful, but also very tragic. And I wanted to thank you personally for reading my friend's manuscript, even though it wasn't the right project for you, but you said that you thought, they were cute books and whatever, and he appreciated the feedback.
Oh, good.
I mean, not everything works out the way people want it to, I guess. Now I'm like, you
Well,
have me all.
that's always the risk you take when
Right.
you embark in a creative endeavor. It's not going to be for everybody, but it'll be for the people that it needs to be right for, hopefully.
Right. Well, I mean, he's won like a bunch of awards and had like a Amazon bestseller for it. And I do think it's good for children. But in terms of narration, I don't know like who would be the best person. You're a great storyteller, but I understand maybe you want to read like more mature stuff and whatever, and that's great too.
Well, I also don't want to work that much. I, to be honest, I'm very lazy at this point.
Just because you are quote unquote older.
No, because I've spent decades hosting multiple shows, and now I'm sort of enjoying the more leisurely fruits of my labors, if you will.
You certainly worked very hard.
Oh, it's
Speaking
terrible.
of, since the last time we talked, I know you on the dancing show, Len Goodman, we lost him. And I was wondering if you had maybe like a particular memory of Len that you wouldn't mind sharing with people who love him.
Well, I remember, I think I shared this with Entertainment Tonight after he passed. One of the things that I loved about Len was just that twinkle that he had. He could be the most direct critic of the dancing. He was the one that I think gave, whenever he would raise the paddle and it was a 9 or a 10, I think it meant more to the performers, to the contestants, than anybody else's. But there'd be times when he would be particularly, I would think, almost borderline vicious in his critiques. Then we'd go to a commercial and I'd walk over to the judge's desk and he'd look at me and he'd go, "That was good, wasn't it?" You know, so he it's not that he was being honest about his critique, but he was sort of in the way that Bruno kind of pumps up the theatricality of his persona on the air. You know, Len would pump up the cranky old guy persona, and everything he said he meant, but the way he said it was for the camera, you know.
Yeah, I remember people used to get mad at him. And
Yeah, and he loved
like,
that. He loved, he didn't mind at all.
but he was very nice because when I went to the show with Tommy Chong, he was coming out of the building and I was walking with Tommy. And Tommy was like, "Hi, Len," whatever. And then he asked Len if, I don't know if he was being serious or not, but he had asked Len if he wanted to go smoke a joint. And I was just like, this, you know, like, oh my God. And Len looks at me and he's like, "Young lady, you stay away from him." And I was just laughing. He had like a big smile on his face. And I when he passed away, I was like, he had like a twinkle in his eye and he just seemed
Yes.
like he really cared about people. And then I don't watch the show anymore ever since you left, that there's nothing there for me. But I did watch Edita. I talk to Edita all the time. And she had come back to dance to honor Len, so I did want to see her. And I admit that I did watch, you know, all of Danny Amendola's dances because I was a Patriots fan, so I wanted to see if he was going to be any good. There's only one person who could get me to watch the show in its entirety again if he did the show, and it's Tom Brady, and he's not going to do
No, he's not.
And people say he's on Masked Singer, and I'm like, have you ever heard him sing? Because if he started singing, I would know. It's so bad. It's terrible. But you know what? Erin Andrews is like the luckiest person in the world because she got to work with my two favorite Toms. She got to work with you, and now she's working with Tom.
There you go.
Well, I feel for her because I think she's such a, like, she's tough and she's super talented and at her job, and I love watching her. But I hate when people start like rumors that she's having an affair with Tom, and it's like, dude, she's married and she doesn't seem like the type. I don't think
Oh,
she's
I did.
into
It
Tom.
was, is that a rumor? I wasn't aware of
It
that.
was at the beginning of season. But I'm only watching football now on Sundays at 4 p.m. when Tom calls games. It really, he broke my heart. Even my mother, when he, so the first time he retired, my mom kept saying, "He's gonna come back. I know he's coming back." And I was like, no, I was crying. He did come back. But when he's like, "I'm retiring for good," my mom wasn't with me and I was crying. And when she walked in, she's like, "Who died?" And I'm like, "Tom died." And she's like, "Oh boy." Like, so for the Super Bowl, who were you hoping would win?
I didn't care.
You didn't care.
No, I just went for the party and mostly I wanted to see the film trailers.
I don't drink, and that Super Bowl, I was drinking and drinking and drinking because I knew that excuse me, not the Patriots, if the Chiefs had won, I would have never heard the end of it from my friends. They would have told me that this is better than Tom. And when I love something, I love it a lot. And that's
Right.
like you and Tom Brady and all these different things. So if somebody came to me and said, "I think so and so is a better host of Dancing with the Stars than Tom Bergeron," I would end up telling that person off, and it would not
Well,
end
but you
well.
have to remember, you know, it's like, and I happen to
Right.
be friends with Alfonso and Julianne,
And I
so I'm
love
happy
Alfonso.
I'm happy they are there now. And it's like anything, you know, everybody brings their own spin to it, whether you're talking about hosts of a dancing show, actors playing James Bond or Doctor Who. Everybody brings their own thing to it. Each, I think everybody has their favorite James Bond, their favorite Doctor Who, their favorite AFE host. On that note, there was on Facebook, I think it was, they have a page, and they were taking a survey of favorite AFE hosts, and they had Bob's picture and John and Daisy and me and Alfonso. And my favorite comment was from some guy who said, "I never liked Tom Bergeron. It was something about the way he looked into the camera. It's like he was judging me." I thought, okay.
Personally.
Yeah, I said, well, if you're on a trampoline or trying to whack a pinata blindfolded, I may be judging you a little.
Did you know Bob before you took
Oh
over
yeah.
Tom?
Oh yes. As a matter of fact, Bob and I became good buddies, and he, for my last show, after I hosted for 15 years and decided to leave, he did a guest spot on my last show, and the last image is the two of us riding off in a golf cart
On a
together.
golf cart, I remember it.
And I don't, I just have to let you know, I've got about 3 to 5 minutes available left. So if there's anything you
Amazing.
haven't talked about, now's the time.
I mean, there's so much. There's always so much that I want to, me, I can talk for, days. But I mean, this just means that I'm gonna have to have you back again at some point. You're stuck with me. You're like an
Let's go
ally.
for it. Is this the record among, now you've done the podcast for quite some time now. How many have you done?
This one would be 101. I was
Oh,
gonna hold
wow.
it. I was gonna hold it till 104, which would mark like 2 years of content. But I'm not gonna hold it because people ask for you all the time.
Oh,
And
that's nice.
what I love about you and I is that we can. It's not an interview. I hate the idea of a construct like a coordinated interview. It's just a chat. Like I'm talking to my friend, and I love that. And I love that about you. Some people come on and they have like very structured answers. And I'm just not a very structured person unless I'm working on an acting project. That's for me. Like I don't know if I told you I auditioned to play young Elle Woods in Legally Blonde, knowing full well that I don't have the body type for Elle Woods. But I couldn't live with myself if I didn't try. So I just tried.
Well, and let's go back to what we talked about with Henry Winkler. He didn't think he had the body type to be Arthur Fonzarelli, but he did. He did, as it turned out. So,
I didn't get it.
well, yeah, but yet you made the effort, and I think Woody Allen said, 90% of life is just showing up. You don't get to quote Woody Allen. He's been canceled, so you don't quote him much anymore. But there you go. That was a good quote.
I'm not big on canceling people. Like, I still think Will Smith is a good person. But I was just going to say, was that Your Beautiful Life in the background?
It was, yeah.
How long have you been married now?
It'll in May, it'll be 43 years.
That's amazing. And you still talk about her in like this beautiful way. And I don't know where you come from besides Boston, but like you are a very special human being.
Oh,
And like,
stop. Oh, stop.
oh,
Thank you.
yeah, but you're going like this.
Thank you.
When I release the clips for this, I'm going to show you going that you want more compliments.
Yeah, that's it. I that was a an old that when I'd be introduced to the audience at either of the shows I would host, and they'd be clapping. I'm, oh no, that's fine, that's fine. Just a little conflicted energy there.
You are like the equivalent to me, like Larry Fine was to you, where when I first started the podcast, you were so willing to come on here. So I guess I'll close by asking you a question. If there is a kid or like an adult kid like me somewhere who is afraid to start something new or reach out to some person who they admire, who they, want to emulate, what advice would you give them if they're too afraid to do it and not audacious and crazy like me?
Well, look, I think Nike says it best, just do it. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? The worst that's going to happen is somebody will say no. And I've had that happen to me. People have said no, but Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and every other cliche. Why not try? Why not try? When I made that effort to reach out to Larry and then Mo of the Stooges, there was certainly no guarantee that was going to work, but it did. So, give it a go.
There's never a guarantee, unfortunately, especially in
Yeah,
entertainment.
no, but but knowing that you tried, I think is what is going to give, how best to put it. The worst feeling is thinking, I wonder what would have happened if I had the balls to do that. And I don't mean that from an anatomical perspective, but from
No, I
an
know.
emotional perspective, So just get out there, give it your best shot, and if somebody says no, let it roll off your back and just keep moving forward. And with
Hold
that,
back on
I
that.
bid you
No, I
adieu.
get it. Yes. It's so nice to chat with you again. And
Same here, Mel.
hopefully we can do it again soon, but like in person, because I'm planning to go back to LA, but like everything keeps things keep happening. But
And
I'm
where are
planning
you?
to.
Where are you based?
Unfortunately, I'm still in Toronto.
I'm going to be in Vancouver
Are you?
in May. I'm actually going up to see. Do you know Julie Nolke?
I feel like I know the name.
You should check out her YouTube channel. She is just this incredible, talented artist. And she is doing a solo show now, and she'll be in Vancouver in May. So she's been a friend for a bit. She and her husband came down here, and I took them to lunch a couple years ago. And when I heard she is doing a solo show, I said, "Well, here's a chance to go to Canada." And I said to Julie, "Do you know any hotels that provide political asylum?" So we'll see. We'll see how that plays
I
out.
don't know if
Well,
I'm
I
actually
have
hoping it's 51st state, but anyway,
that.
you have a wonderful day.
Let's not start there. You take care, and I hope to see you again. We'll try to do this every couple of years.
Well, maybe not every couple of years, maybe once a year.
All right. We'll talk.
Thank you so much,
Take
Tom.
care, Mo.
Bye. That was fun for me. Anyway, I love chatting with Tom. He's one of my favorite people in the entire world. And I genuinely do adore this man. He is not Tom Brady, but he is the Tom Brady of hosting, and I love him for that. He just happens to also have the name Tom, which is kind of incredible. I'm not going to keep you. I'm not going to ramble because I have lots to do. I have auditions to do. I'm going to see Mandy Patinkin live this week. So there's a lot going on, but I cannot leave without first saying, number one, if you feel so obliged, if you feel obliged, please follow at the letter I, the letter O, loves you on Instagram and share all of his little stories regarding the California wildfires. He's doing his best to help the community, and you can do the same just by sharing. I know a lot of people are not so focused on that anymore, but LA is home. LA has my heart, and so I'm asking you to just spread words, and you don't have to give money. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, but please just share whatever you can. Second, I have to thank my sponsors, Michael Salberg Family Wines, who have been with me since the beginning. You can find them on Instagram at Michael Salberg Family Wines. Also, Huxware, the camel toe eliminating moisture wicking underwear made for women by women. You can find them on Instagram at HUXWEAR. And last but not least, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that actually taste good at SnackConcious. And finally, a couple of shout outs that are not sponsored that no one is paying me to tell you about. First thing, if you want to like listen to a podcast or even watch it, I don't know if that would that be like a video cast? I don't know. You want to interact with two of the funniest, coolest girls on the planet, I highly recommend you follow at All Body No Brains, spelled ALLBODYNOBRAINS. All Body No Brains. They are hilarious. They are Chloe Richmond and Emily Wilson, or Emily Higgins, if we're going to be official. And you will thoroughly enjoy their episodes, I think, because I do. So if you enjoy this show, you're gonna love that one. And of course, the buddies, my buddies, Brian Nolay and Dave Mossman, who have written books, a book series called The Jungle Buddies. There's A Race to Remember and The Surprise Party. Both books are available on Amazon worldwide. These are award-winning books for children. Check them out if you haven't already. If you have kids, buy a book. If you have nephews, nieces, whatever, buy a book. It's cheap. It's not expensive. You'll be supporting a great project for Dave and Brian, and you'd be doing something great for your kids or your someone else's kids. And with that, I'm gonna go. No, I'm not. That's a lie. If you are not already, please follow me on Instagram at This Blonde Can Talk. Or if you're already following me on my personal, no big deal. Let me know there or on Twitter at A Blonde Who Talks, or X, I should say, not Twitter, X, or on the Blue Sky social app where I am so unaware of what I'm doing. But it's also This Blonde Can Talk. Follow there as well. Leave comments. Let me know what you want to hear me talk about or who you want to hear me chat with. Confirming that Lucas Grabeel is still coming on soon. Not sure exactly when, but soon. So please don't request him again. For those asking, I am still working my magic on Francis Ford Coppola, but my magic pretty much always works. And tune in to Everybody's Live with John Mulaney on Netflix because at some point you may hear from your girl. All right. Have a great day, week, month, whatever. If you don't plan on listening again, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you and I love you guys. And I hope you all have an amazing week and weekend. And I have already talked too much. All right. Bye.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the real Jessica Chastain.